Ephesians 3. I hope you all are ready. So let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 3. So we get to get right into that. We're going to pray and then get into our sermon. But Ephesians 3, I had the blessing of, as a seminary student, translating all of this from the Greek. So Ephesians is one of my favorite books. It's really exciting. And what's cool about Ephesians is it is, just give you a little bit of a background. Paul went to Ephesus, and he spent 3 years there in this place called Ephesus. And Ephesus is in Turkey. It used to be probably one of the greatest cities of the ancient world. In fact, the Temple of Artemis of the Ephesians, was located in Ephesus, and that was one of the ancient wonders of the world. It was ginormous, huge, and you could see it from a far way off, right on the port. And the columns, I can't even tell you how big the columns were. If you took the stage here and made it circular, it would be as big as this front of the stage, the columns. And they had many of those columns, and the temple was just amazing. You might remember that Paul got into a little frisky incident with a certain silversmith in Ephesus, and he yelled out basically to him saying, "Our temple's better than your temple." Now, where is your temple? Yeah, your temple is you. The temple of Jesus Christ is made up of you and you and you and you, and it's all of us being fitted together, and it's a beautiful picture. This is Ephesus. This is who Paul is talking to. And I've walked down the streets of Ephesus, and I've walked through, I call them Paul's potties, and the public bathrooms, and the temple to Nike, and the great library that was in Ephesus. These were very intelligent people. These were people with large books, and they studied Stoicism and Gnosticism, and they had lots of Greek in their thinking. And so as we think about what Paul is addressing in Ephesians, he's addressing you and me. And he's trying to give us a big picture. And I hope you get as excited as I do when we get into this. I mean, it's amazing. And I never knew it. Okay? In fact, it wasn't until Damon said, "Okay, can you go back to Ephesians 3 that I went in and I started, you know, I translated this, okay, from Greek to English. But I didn't really all of a sudden catch something that before till now. And so I want to share it with you, and I hope that you get as excited as I do. So let's get into Ephesians. It's in Ephesians chapter 3. And if you don't know where Ephesians is, you got Romans, right? And that's a big one. That comes after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then you got Acts and Romans, and then you got 1 and 2 Corinthians. And then you have General Electric Power Company. Did anybody teach you that one? Yes. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And it's easy to remember those four in a row, right? So we're in Ephesians, and we're in chapter 3. And it says, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, so if yours is a little different, it's okay. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote beforehand in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. And then Paul says in verse 6, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow believers to the body and fellow partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through today. I'm going to pause here and ask you, who are Gentiles? Yeah. Non-Jews. So when Paul's writing this, he's not writing to the Jews per se, right? He's writing to us Gentiles. That's you and me, non-Jews. Okay, so to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise of Christ through the gospel. Verse 7, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power, to me, the very least of all saints, the grace which was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery for which the ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might be now be made known through the church. By the way, who's the church? That's us. It's not the building. It's you and me. So it's to be made manifest through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out beforehand in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God did this in Jesus Christ our Lord, or through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence and access through Him, through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory. Verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in the heavens through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. I hope you read that. I hope you felt that. That's his prayer. Now to Him who is able to and exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, it's a lot to take in. God, we're asking that You, O Spirit, fill us to the full of Your goodness, Your riches, Your truth. Fill us to the full, God, today. God, we ask for the manifold wisdom of God to be poured out upon us right now as we hear the Word of God, as we imbibe the Word of God. We pray, God, that it would pour out of us, that, God, it would be made manifest through us to the heavenlies for Your glory. God, we ask that You would speak and not me. God, in Your precious Son's name and for His glory, we pray. Amen. Well, what's the big mystery? So there's these Gnostics who used to travel around, and they would talk about mysteries and things that you never knew until now. And here's Paul. Paul walks up and says, hey, now, wait a minute, I've got a mystery. And this is a real mystery, and now it's an open mystery. And he started in the chapter 1 talking about it. We'll get to that in a minute. But there, I have four takeaways I want for you to be prepared to take away. And then I'm going to ask you to be willing to make a public profession this morning. It's going to be hard, especially for us Americans, because we don't want people looking at us thinking, well, I've been in church all my life. I'd hate to make a new decision in front of all these people. But let's be willing and open to do that, because I believe God is telling us something important this morning. But so here are the takeaways. Number one, The sovereign purpose of God is to make known the glory of his wisdom. It's a big one. And I talked to my mom over Thanksgiving, and by the way, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And as we move into the Christmas season, I hope that this carries through this. But listen, I said, Mom, what do you think about this? And my wonderful mother said, please make it simple and don't use all those churchy words. So if I start to get a little churchy, it's because I'm needing to define some of these things that God wants for us to do. And just bear with me. I'm going to try to make it simple, okay? But God's sovereign purpose, his one purpose, is to make known the glory of his wisdom. And what is his wisdom? Where is his wisdom found? In Jesus Christ. God's wisdom, from the beginning of creation, is made manifold, made open, made known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we know it through the Word. Okay, so that anyone who said word was not wrong. It just, that was the secondary purpose of understanding God's manifold wisdom. Okay, so number two, the mystery of the gospel of Christ crucified. That's the message of hope that we have for all people. That's the hope that we have. We have hope in Christ. And you know what? When I get to Thanksgiving, I have hope. When I walk around and realize that I'm thankful for my breath, I'm thankful for my house, I'm thankful for my car, even though it's a 2004 Honda Civic Hybrid, and I've got a little dent in the front, and I wish I could fix that, but I can't, and I really drive around like the average man, right? And that's okay. And I'm thankful for my family, and I'm thankful for the food I eat, I'm thankful for the breath that I take. Guys, my wife put something up in my guest bathroom at our house, and it said, if you have tomorrow everything that you thanked God for yesterday, what would you have? Thank the Lord. And it comes out. You begin to change. You begin to see the world differently when you start to put things into perspective that everything you have is not yours. In fact, nothing you have is yours, for real. You can't take it with you, and it wasn't yours to begin with. Oh, yeah, we talked about this last time I was here, you might remember. And you can work hard, but you didn't do it. If you might remember that from last time. So the third thing we say is that the church of God is designed to display this wisdom, look at this, to every wicked power. Oh, my gosh. To every wicked power. What does that mean? We're going to get into this. We got to understand what that means if we're going to understand Ephesians 3. And number four, Paul's primary purpose in his prayer, because that last part of Ephesians 3 is a prayer, is that we, the church, will be filled to the fullness of God. What does that look like? What does it look like to be filled with the fullness of God? And does that mean we have to have a big church? No, but let's pursue this, and let's find out what that really means. So we want to give a little more background. Paul's writing to the church of the Ephesians. Paul emphasizes the Ephesians, in the Ephesians, this open mystery that's now revealed. That this mystery was never revealed to people, the average person before. Now, it was revealed to the prophets on occasion, but they didn't know what it meant. You know, God's coming to save the Gentiles, but who cares about the Gentiles? You might remember the Jews hated the Gentiles. I mean, not just a little. We're talking, you couldn't walk on the same side of the road, you know? You couldn't talk to them. You didn't even want to get close to them because they're dirty. Because then you would become unclean. Wow. That's not a way to make friends and influence people, right? They didn't like you. So God had this new mystery, and the other thing about Ephesians that I really love is God has great imagery through the book of Ephesians. He has this imagery of temple imagery, and you're the living, growing, bigger and bigger temple, and you are these beautiful, perfect blocks, And I've seen these blocks, and these blocks were exceedingly expensive. Exceedingly costly is what the Bible talks about. That you are exceedingly costly to the God of the universe. What does that mean? No way, I'm not that important. I didn't finish the 12th grade. How can I be exceedingly costly? It's because God gave his son and paid more for you and your salvation than anything else. He paid more money, more value for you than anything could be paid. So this beautiful picture of temple imagery. And then you have this idea of the body imagery. You'll see this later on in Ephesians. You also see citizenship imagery. You are no longer a citizen of this world. When you become a believer, when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and decide to follow the God of the universe, you become a citizen of heaven. Oh, my goodness, what a beautiful picture that is. When I am no longer a citizen of this world, so I don't really care what happens to me here, you know, because I don't belong here. This isn't my home. My home is there. Wow, that changes a lot of things the way I do things around here. And if you've ever traveled, I was a missionary, you might remember, 15 years. I'd travel from country to country. I had to pull out a passport. My passport said United States of America, but my real passport says heaven. And so when I go into a country, do I get the, you know, I have to set up residency. I have to file all the paperwork. I have to do all this stuff. But I can't vote unless, of course, I'm American. I let anybody vote. No, I'm just kidding. Don't. But I have to jump all these hoops to get legal standing in a country. I don't have legal standing here. And so if somebody treats me like I don't have legal standing here, what should be my response? Okay, this ain't my home. This ain't my homeland. Wow, does that not beautiful picture? So this is the background. We're still talking about background. And then the last thing, the last image that really runs through Ephesians is this inheritance image. This inheritance image, and obviously you know the feeling of this inheritance imagery, and that is that you have inherited everything. You are a child of the King. You are a child. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have everything. It is yours. Now, does that mean you're going to be rich? No. Does that mean you're going to be healthy? No. Does that mean anything? Yes. It means you're going to have heaven eternal, and it's all yours. And if you need something here on earth, you just pray for it. God moves mountains. I've seen him do it. I mean, actually, not real mountains. I mean, he can. I didn't see that. But he does move things that are obstacles to you and to me. And he does it with the blink of an eye, with a breath. It's amazing. And we are his children. We have inherited all things through Christ Jesus as a child of the King. And that's just amazing. So God's mystery now is revealed through those pictures. And you'll see it. So here's the thing. And this is where the rubber hits the road in the backgrounds. Is that God's church is called to give up freedoms. I didn't want to say this. I guess I didn't expect to. There's a church. We have a lot of different churches in our association. We have 10 African American churches. We've got 5 Hispanic churches. We've got Filipino, Chinese, Korean churches. We're blessed. A lot of different churches in our association. One of the churches, there's an African American pastor who's a politically oriented person. I'm saying this for your benefit. He got really angry at me. He just got really, really angry at me because of my skin color. And I didn't understand it. You know, I don't understand, especially with this BLM stuff that's been going around and CRT and all this stuff. And he says, I don't understand that stuff because I'm not black. And yeah, I'm not. And you know what? I probably can't understand him. But here's the thing that God revealed to me. Is that it doesn't matter what color you are. You're to give up all of your rights. You hear what that is? So it doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, purple, whatever. You give up your rights. You give up asserting your rights. You don't have any rights here because you don't belong here. You don't have rights. But I deserve rights. I deserve freedom to worship. No, you don't. In fact, you might not have it in 10 years here in America. You never know. Folks, you don't have any right at all. You can't go to somebody and say, I have a right to speak. I have a right to bear arms. I have a right to do what I want. No, you don't. You have a right to glorify Christ, to point everyone to Jesus. That's all that you have a right to do because you're a citizen of heaven. Wow, that changes perspectives, doesn't it? And so when people are claiming that they're wronged, when people are claiming that I have a right, they're not going by what we're talking about here today, because we're called as a church to give up our freedoms, our comfort, our security, because Christ is more important than human comforts. Paul was in jail when he was writing this. Now, here's something we're going to get there in a second. I want to rush forward really badly. But remember that Paul was in jail. He didn't say he was in jail in the first chapter. He didn't say he was in jail in the second chapter or perseverate on being in jail in the first and second chapters. Why? Because that's not important. It doesn't matter that he's in jail for you and me. Because he's not a citizen of here. He's ready to go to heaven. He's good to go. It's about the fact that we are the church and we are the front lines against this consuming evil. You can call it what you want, authoritarianism, Marxism. You can call whatever you want if you're a political person. But whatever the evil is, you're the front line. And evil doesn't really like you. I just want you to make sure you hear that. You're not in good graces with evil. They're not. When you stand up and say Jesus is Lord, evil says, uh-uh. It's not good. And you are the church, and you are that front line against the evil and the rulers of this world. Well, who are the rulers of the world? Let's find out. In Paul's motivation. So we've talked about the background. We've set the stage. What's Paul's motivation behind all this? We're going to talk about Paul's motivation, Paul's example, Paul's reason, our response, and Paul's prayer. Then we'll be done. We can do this. All right, it's a big chapter. I usually preach on 2 or 3 verses, so this is hard for me. Here we go. Paul's motivation. Let's look to verse 10. And this is what was so exciting for me, because it was something new that God spoke to me about through these verses. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, okay, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Who are the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places? Paul mentions it later in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness and in heavenly places. What is that? It's Satan and his dominion. All of the third of the angels that fell with Satan just after creation, all of those that rule this world, that's what God's talking about. So Paul's motivation, you see here, is so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. That means you and me. So that God's brilliance may be flashed before them. Look at the church. Look at how I designed this from your fall, from before your fall. I knew that all of this wisdom may be shown to the rulers and authorities in these heavenly places. This is a big deal. So we, our church, you and me, we are this example that is being shown to the heavenly realms, the evil, and that we need to act like it. I'm sorry, but there are churches today that don't act like what Paul is asking them to. The manifold wisdom of God is not that we should look at our gender and say, oh, I don't know what I am. I'm sorry. The manifold wisdom of God isn't to say, God didn't create me this way, God created me another way. I'm sorry. That's not true. God created you the way He did. And you know what? It's good. You're beautiful just the way you are. God created you so perfect that He created you and designed you to do such great things, and that we throw it away because the man, we embrace other wisdom. We embrace the wisdom of the academia. We embrace the wisdom of the world and of the heavenly evil. And we embrace it and we call it our own, and we, oh, it's okay to view pornography. Oh, it's okay to steal. It's okay to do this because we're doing that. We are embracing earthly wisdom, and it's wrong. And the church is doing that. And we're over and over and over, and we're saying, well, you know, God designed it this way, but that was in the Old Testament. Or God designed it this way, and, well, you know, that was for the old times. Now we're in a new time. Folks, listen to the churches all around us. The Methodist church is breaking up, right? You guys might have heard. They're trying to figure out what to do. We've had other mainline denominations. Listen, Southern Baptists are not far from it. We're this far away from pretending we're too smart for God. We need to be focused on the importance of the Bible and the truth that it contains. And we are the manifold wisdom that goes out in the community and says, you know what? I've got hope for you. I've got good news for you. You don't have to be stuck in this life, in this lifestyle, in this world, in this muck. I've got hope for you. And folks, each one of us, we have hope. We have hope for tomorrow. We have hope for eternity. And we are given the declaration to share with others. And guys, that is what our job is, to share this good news, to bring it to every person. And we as a church, if you look around, a lot of our churches come in, we worship, we have fun, we smile, and then we leave, and we leave it all behind us. And we at Fellowship Church cannot be that way. We at Fellowship Church, we are to bring the gospel to people whose homes need to be repaired. We are to bring the gospel to people who desperately need good news and a touch from Jesus. That's our job. Paul's motivation is to let the world know and the heavenly places know about the amazing wisdom of Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection for you. That's what our goal is. So let's look at verse 1. It says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. He was in prison for forsaking the comforts of the materialistic life that he could have had. Paul was the number one Pharisee in training. I didn't know if you know this. This guy was the top of the Pharisees. And he was studying under a guy named Gamaliel, who was, you know, also the big dog. Paul had probably, more than likely, memorized the entire first 5 books of the Bible. Folks, I have a hard time memorizing just a few in a row. But he had it all memorized. He could speak the gospel because he knew the word. And see, that's where we need to be as Fellowship Church, a place where we know the word and we speak the word and we speak hope and we bring good news. And then he was in prison because he was not trying to make the church in Ephesus feel guilty, but to help them recognize, hey man, your citizenship's in heaven. Hey man, it's okay. Just follow my example. That's Paul's example. And then we got Paul's reason. Paul's reason. So that by revelation, there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote in brief. And what did he write in brief? Well, we go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Let's read those real quick. Ephesians chapter 1 says, in verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, summing up of all things in Christ, in the heavens and the things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose who works all things after the counsel of his will. Period. You have been predestined. You have been chosen by God. You, who follow Jesus Christ, are loved by him. From the beginning of time, he has been anticipating your coming and is excited to see you and to watch you bring good news, because he has designed you for this. He has made you to love other people and to set aside your goals, to set aside your desires, and to say, I want to love you. And thank you for leading the construction to people, because you are being the hand and feet, but never neglect giving them the good news. When you're building that chair ramp, or that wheelchair ramp, when you're raking up someone's yard, when you're doing something to enhance their lives, you never forsake sharing the gospel, because that is why we're doing what we're doing. And if they come to Fellowship Church, hey, praise God. That's a bonus. We get to worship with them. But that's not why we do it. We do it because we are sharing the beauty of Jesus Christ to the world, and those darn demons are going, holy cow! God outsmarted us again. And he did it through you. Oh man, it's good news. This mystery is hidden. It's been hidden and hidden and hidden until Jesus Christ. And then it came out, and that mystery was Paul's reason in verse 6, to be specific, that Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus. It was known in the Old Testament over and over and over. It was said many times. I don't know if you've ever memorized Psalm 46, but in verse 10 it says, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the world. I will be exalted in all, among the nations. I will be exalted in all the world. God knew he was going to be exalted among the Gentiles. Cease striving. I'm going to take care of this. Just do what I've asked you to do. Don't hurt yourself doing it. Just enjoy. Oh man, that's great. God's wisdom hidden through the Old Testament was revealed to the prophets, and finally it came that Jesus Christ, who took away the wrath of God. You see, we deserve the wrath of God on us. You and me, we deserve the wrath of God. And if you don't think so, I can share with you afterwards. I know I deserve it. I'm an ugly hockey player. And I have done things I'm not proud of. And I deserve the wrath of God, but Jesus Christ took it away. I didn't ask for it. He did it. I didn't even want it. And he did it. And he loved me. And he loves you. And God loves the world so much that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And guys and girls, this is great news, and we need to be sharing it. And I keep bringing that up because it's so important that Fellowship Church is the church that people share the gospel in every place they go, at work, at home, with their family. Don't ever hide it under a bushel. Paul's reason, to be specific, is that Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus. But God, they're dirty and stinky and messy. God, us Jews, we're good. We're perfect. We don't do anything wrong. We're not stiff-necked. They didn't understand this. When Paul's writing this, this doesn't make any sense to the Jews. But it's God's wisdom, his amazing wisdom, to send his son to die on a cross. Horrible, horrible death that actually was a swear word. You know, we think of swear words, and I'm sure a couple of you all of a sudden in your head said a swear word. I know how this works, okay? I was a hockey player. You said it, and you thought to yourself, boom, that's a swear word. No, this, to the cross with you, is just like the worst thing we could say today. To the cross with you. And Jesus went to the cross and took our sin. What a great, great bit of news. So we are fellow heirs. Fellow heirs, the word is, all the promises that God made in the Old Testament and all those promises he made to the people in the Old Testament of I have a plan for you. I've got a world for you. I'm going to bless the world through you. All those promises are extended to you through Jesus Christ because you are his son and you are his daughter. So we are joint heirs. And then number two, same body. This idea of same body, where pagans and haters of God are now children of the king. We're the same body now. This is a new mystery that never before was imagined. And partakers, this is kind of cool. We're partakers of the promise. All the riches of the Messiah are shared with us. Who's that? That's the owner of all things in the universe. They're shared with us. Hey, that's not a bad deal. I'll take that. Pretty cool. So our response, what's our response in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 3? In verse 12 it says, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. So I used to read this as having I have boldness to approach God. And I'm thinking that it might be slightly different now that I've reread it and gone through it. So remember, we went back to verse 10 that we're to display to the heavenly places. And here's the deal. I also teach economics at Santa Fe College. And I'm kind of scared to share my faith there. I don't know if you know what it's like in academia. I'm just being real with you. You know, I want to share with everybody, but I'm kind of like my job. I kind of want to have access in the future to the students to be able to share good news with them in the future. And I want to be able to pray with people at this evil institution called college. And so I'm a little afraid. Well, what do I do about that? Do I keep just sharing wildly and crazily? I don't know. I just want to encourage you. You know, you might feel the same nervousness I do at work. But guess what? We do it anyway. We get up to the person, we say, listen, I'll be praying for you. I'm so sorry that happened to you. Praying for you? What's that all about? Well, I have hope. I'd love to share that with you if you want to know more. And I try to, in every conversation, I weave it in a little. And I think I want to encourage you all to do the same. Because that's what it's saying to us here. Our response should be boldness to the evil that is in place. Boldness to the heavenly powers that are running the show here now. Here now. They're running the show insofar as God allows them to. You know, it's all within his will, of course. But we've got to be responsive with boldness because our faith in Jesus Christ, we can stand before the authorities. We can stand before the world and proclaim the goodness of God. We have access to the goodness of God through the provision of God in Jesus Christ. Even in our suffering, because of Christ, we have access to God. So when somebody has said something bad to you, when someone has hurt you, when someone has taken from you, when a child has gone astray in your life, guess what? We have access to the goodness of God through the faith in Jesus Christ. And he will support you. He will undergird you. He will get you through it, and it may not be easy, but He loves you. And so Paul has given us the task, and the task is for us, the church, to do what God created us to do, to share the gospel. That's God's encouragement to us through Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. You need to share the gospel with all boldness. Don't worry about it. You have access to everything you need through Jesus Christ. It's going to be okay. And so Paul then begins to pray in verse 16. He's praying for the Ephesian church, and he's praying for Fellowship Church. He's praying for us. Paul said, share this book. Share this with others so that they can too be encouraged. Share this. So he's writing it for you just as much as he's writing it for the Ephesians. And he says in verse 16 that he would grant you according to, this is what Paul's hoping for you. Paul's hoping for you right now that he would grant, that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Holy cow. If I could handle some of God's riches, that wouldn't be all bad. God has everything to strengthen, be strengthened in power through the Spirit that God would grant you. And this word grant means to supply, to furnish, to cause. If God would grant you that. And let's look at verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That being rooted and grounded in love. So let's look at the word dwell. Dwell is to settle, to inhabit. Here's another good word, to govern. So that Christ may govern your hearts through faith. Man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful because, folks, if he's not governing our hearts, we're not fulfilling his mission. And then here's the other word, rooted. So that Christ may govern our hearts through faith, that you being affixed, that you being glued together in selfless love and service. Isn't that great? This rooted meaning selfless love, glued together, rendered firm. Wow, that's so beautiful. That Paul is saying in verse 19 even, that you may know, and this is really the key to Paul's prayer. So he's been leading you up, he's getting you filled up so that you get this. That you may know the love of Christ which surpasses the knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. And you probably read this before and said, what does that mean, be filled up to the fullness of God? What is that? And that is when you have all that you need to do what God created you to do, and to have more, and to bubble over. So that God may be bubbling over in you that which you need to share the gospel with all those around you. Okay. I just want to encourage you. So as Paul has said today, that we have a mission. Because of the heavenlies, because of the evil that has looked down at God and said, God, you don't know what you're doing. We got you. Look at, we own the world here. We're in charge. They're saying this, casting insults. Your creation is stupid. They don't know what they're doing. But the truth is, God says, ha ha. Guess what? I designed this church from the beginning. And look it. So what does it mean to be filled to the full? Here it is. In Paul's prayer, it means to pursue the highest valued good. What's the highest value good? Christ. The highest value good is Christ. So we are to pursue the highest value good. So if we understand what the highest value good is, and we withhold it from others, what kind of person are you? So I want to share a story real quick, and then we'll have our conclusion. As a missionary, and in 2011, a friend of mine, I played on a professional hockey team in Bulgaria, and a friend of mine, his name was Kirill, and we called him Kiro, and he was a goalie, and his locker was next to mine. And we had Kirill over at Kiro at my house that Christmas in 2011. He said, come on over. So we had the whole team, my whole hockey team over at our house, and we sang Christmas songs in Bulgarian, and these guys had no idea. Never heard ever any of these songs. Okay? I mean, it was a foreign language, even though it was their language. They're like, this is, whoa. And afterwards, Kiro said to me, Jeffrey, I love what you have. I love what you have, but I just want 2 more years of fun. He told me this. After 2 more years, I'm going to get married, I'm going to have a family, and I'm going to accept Jesus as my Savior, and it's going to be great. I'm going to do exactly what you're doing. And I thought, well, you know, because I can't make Kiro accept Jesus. But I gave him the gospel. I gave everybody a Jesus film. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a Jesus film, story of Jesus. And I gave it to everybody on the team and a Bible if they wanted it, because I didn't want anyone to go to hell without me saying, hey, I got good news for you. So I gave it to everybody on the team. And this, I had been on the team for a few years. That Easter at 9 o'clock, I was worshiping at a church in Sofia, Bulgaria, and someone walked up to me and said, Jeffrey, did you hear about the hockey player that got killed last night? And I said, what? What hockey player? And I Googled it on my phone, and I said, are you absolutely sure? And then I called my team captain, and I said, what's going on? And he, through tears, said that Kiro was stabbed the night before at a bar, right outside of a bar, and he was killed. And that was that. So that's not the story. The story is, that weekend, I was having a guy fly in. I worked with Turkic people, Turkish-speaking people. Do we have a video on? No video? Okay, good. I worked with Turkish people, the Muslims. And I had this man coming in from Turkey who was a believer, and I was asking him to speak the gospel. And I paid to have him come in, so I wanted him to speak the gospel to this place. I had to go to another country, and then we were speaking this gospel message. And I'm like, okay, I really need this message to be spoken. So should I leave this funeral, and instead of going to the funeral and the procession and all the stuff, should I go bring this guy to this other place where these people are dying and going to hell and don't have access to the gospel? And I said, that's more important to me. So my friend, he heard the gospel. I gave it my best shot. He's dead. So I didn't do that. I went over here. I picked this guy up, and we picked him up from the airport. And I said, well, I'm really excited. We're going to go see some shepherds. And he's dressed in loafers, and it was really funny just to share this with you. It's really funny because he goes, he thought I was speaking about pastors because they're shepherds. And he goes, are we really seeing shepherds? I said, yeah, I'm so excited. He goes, I didn't know we had shepherds over here with these people. I said, shepherds everywhere. He's like, are you talking about pastors? I said, no. I said, shepherds. He goes, what? You mean the ones with poop? And I said, yeah, we're going to talk to shepherds where there's poop. And he said, well, but I'm not ready for that. I said, yes, you are. I said, you speak Turkish. You're ready. And he goes, well, I don't understand. I said, I told you, you're going to speak to shepherds. Because I had some sheep deals with some shepherds. And anyway, so what I'm trying to help you understand is that to confound the evil of this world, I brought in a Turkish speaker to come in and to speak the gospel. But before I said that, I said to my friends, they were all shepherds, we went to a restaurant, and it was a big restaurant, and they play loud music. If you've ever been in Eastern Europe or anywhere like that, they play this loud music, and it's so hard to talk. But we got a back room, and I was trying to speak, and so I was telling them in the language I was speaking, and I was telling them that I lost a friend yesterday. You remember I played for Bulgaria. You know, they knew it was in the news. And my friend was killed last night, or it was this last week. And I needed to tell you the story. I need to tell you the story because if I don't tell you the story, what kind of friend am I? I said, my friend heard the gospel. He heard this good news, but he said he didn't want it until 2 years from now, and now he's dead, and now he's in hell. And they all, and these guys, they said, wait a minute, Jeffrey, just a minute, Jeffrey, he's in heaven. I said, no, he's in hell. I said, no, you mean he died and went to heaven? Because they thought it was a translation issue. And I said, no, he is in hell. And I don't want you to go there. Because if I don't tell you this and you don't believe it, then that's where you will end up. And they're all like, what? And I said, that is why I'm here. That is why I brought this friend, and he's going to tell you. Guys, you won't believe it. So we're in this restaurant. I get halfway through this man's gospel presentation in Turkish, and it's quiet. The whole restaurant is quiet. There's got to be 50 to 80 people in this restaurant, in this small room, all this noise usually. You couldn't hear the dishes clanging. And people were peeking around the corner, listening to the gospel. Because why? Because the gospel is really interesting. And the gospel needs to be spoken, and people need to hear it, and your friends need to hear it. And if they don't hear it from you, what kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? So that's what Paul's saying today. And I've spoke a long time. That's what Paul's saying. I just want to encourage you, please make fellowship the church that speaks the gospel. So our conclusion is this. The sovereign purpose of God is to make known the glory of His wisdom. That's the sovereign purpose. That's His purpose from the beginning, that you would make known His wisdom to the people of this world, to show the angels and authorities, the fallen angels and authorities and Satan, how you're not afraid to speak the gospel and how it is amazing, God's wisdom, to use you who is pitiful, as pitiful as I am. Just like Paul said, I'm the worst of all Christians, and God chose me. Oh man, God is one crazy dude, but His wisdom's amazing. Number two, the wisdom of the gospel is Christ crucified for all people, including us. So share it. So share it. Number three, the church is God's design to display His manifold wisdom to every wicked power. So share it. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. Number four, Paul's primary purpose in his prayer is that we, the church, will be filled up to the fullness of God. So share it. Share the gospel. And as we get ready to go, my musician has already left. I've preached too long. So we don't have a song. But I do want to tell you that God is asking you to share the gospel. And right now, I hope you've thought of somebody who needs to hear the gospel in your mind, in your heart. Maybe it's a friend you need to call. Maybe it's somebody you need to work with, you're working with, but you need to share the gospel. You need to let the people know of the good news of Jesus Christ, and that is every single opportunity. As we pray and get ready to go out of here, I'm asking that you think of that person and you don't let it go to tomorrow. Don't let it go, because if you do, you'll forget. It's a big mystery. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight we will have the confidence and the boldness to share the gospel. We pray that this week we will have the confidence and the boldness to share the gospel. We pray, God, that we would impress the the angels and authorities of this world, which are evil and with evil intent to destroy your design. We pray, God, that we would show them the wisdom of God by the way that you use us. We pray, God, that in the name of Jesus, you would give us that boldness and that we would be filled with the Spirit this week to do your will. And Lord, if there's someone here who needs to know Jesus Christ, we pray that right now that they would know that God loves them, that there is no one, no other path, no other way to heaven, to you, God, except through Jesus Christ. And that that this morning they would say, Lord, I accept you. But Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I want to follow you. And that, God, if there's someone here today, that they would just do that for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, folks, Wendy, do you have one? Wendy, you want to send something to them? Okay, are you ready? This is what Paul would do if he was standing here. Are you ready? Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or imagine, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Have a fantastic week. Please come again soon. And tell your friends. Hey, love you all. See you later.